John Cohen, welcome back.
Thanks, Jackie. Glad to be
back. Second full day of the conference, and today it was all about prevention.
Prevention day, yeah. Well, it was a very powerful opening session, this meeting, with a talk by Mike Cohen from the University of North Carolina, where he mapped out all the different places you can act to intervene against HIV. Before someone's infected, the first few weeks after they're infected, the first few months after they're infected, long-term when they're infected. And there are different strategies to prevent HIV from getting the upper hand in each of those cases. And he did, I think, what many people here felt was a tremendous job outlining all the possibilities. The bottom line is that everyone now recognizes that the idea that one single thing, one magic bullet, is going to lead to the prevention of HIV spread is as silly as the idea that one drug is going to stop HIV, which was initially the hope with drug treatment. It's now the era of cocktail prevention, of highly active combination prevention, you know. And I think it's high time.
Because we know what the treatment is. It's a question of the delivery system. But prevention, still more of a puzzle.
Well, we know that no single preventive idea solves the problem. There is no vaccine that, you know, before there was a polio vaccine, there was no hope. A polio vaccine showed up. Polio went away in the United States between 1955 and 1961 with a vaccine. It disappeared. Well, there is no vaccine here. So we've got to come up with other strategies that mix and match all these different things that maybe work a little bit.
You said before we started taping that one of the things that struck you about the presentation that Mike Cohen made was that his optimism.
Yeah, he is extremely optimistic about a biomedical approach to prevention. He put up a slide that showed all the trials of biomedical approaches and how many have failed. And we're talking about close to 36 studies that have failed. Vaccines, microbicides, treating sexually transmitted infections. All these different ideas have failed. But he's extremely hopeful about something that's being studied today that has yet to prove itself. And it's called pre-exposure prophylaxis. It's being studied in thousands of people around the world. And he put up a slide that showed all the countries and cities that are now studying this. And the idea is that an uninfected person will take an anti-HIV drug before having sex, and that that will protect them. Much in the way when you go to a country that has malaria, you might take a malarial pill to prevent getting malaria. Has it proven itself? No. Have most things in this arena failed? Yes. So why is he so optimistic that he would stand in front of thousands of people and say, I'm fairly certain this one's going to work? And the reason is because there's good evidence already that it does work in prevention of mother-to-child transmission. When a baby is born to an infected woman, both the mother and the baby ideally receive a dose of anti-HIV drug to prevent the transmission. And it works powerfully. There are also monkey studies that show that this strategy, with the right drugs or combinations of drugs, is very powerful in monkeys. And the data from the monkey studies don't look anything like vaccine studies. If you saw a vaccine monkey study that worked this well, believe you me, people would be dancing in the streets.
Put this in a little bit of context. Tell us why it is so important when somebody like Mike Cohen says what he said today.
I think people are feeling a sense of hopelessness about biomedical interventions in part. And there's also abundant evidence that behavioral interventions by themselves, of just, you know, getting people, telling people to use condoms, have a limited power. Circumcision is one of the biomedical interventions that has worked. In fact, there are 4 trials that have worked in biomedical interventions. 3 of them are circumcision studies. Well, circumcision only prevents infection 60% of the time. So even that isn't that powerful. Yes, it has power, and that's great, but it's not the answer to the problem. And so I think when somebody stands up and says, hey, we've got a lot of trials underway right now, and a few of these look really promising, it's kind of cutting against the grain and saying, you know, there's reason for optimism.
And so when you talk about, when prevention is talked about here, is it almost exclusively in the biomedical arena? Is there still a focus on behavior change?
Absolutely, and it's underused or misapplied in many, many places. There was a lot of criticism today of abstinence only, or even the notion of ABC of abstinence, behavior change, and condoms. There was one session I went to where one of the presenters asked everyone in the room to raise their hand if they wanted ABC to be put into the trash bin and die today. All of it's just oversimplifying things rather than accepting the complexity of it. So yes, behavior change is receiving a lot of attention, but a big problem with behavior change is it's much harder to measure your impact than it is when you do a biomedical study. If I give you a drug, I can say it worked, it didn't work. I test you before and after. If I do behavior change, there are all these other forces at play. And it's just dirtier, it's messier science.
The other thing I wanted to talk to you today about was what you called the know your epidemic discussions. Where is that coming from?
There was a chart put up today of what's driving the epidemic in each region of the world. So Africa, Asia, North America. And what you see is that people's behaviors that drive the epidemic differ from region to region. So in some areas, a third or half the epidemic is driven by men who have sex with men. Maybe a third is injecting drug users. And you know, a portion of it is mothers transmitting to children. In other areas, there's really no injecting drug use to speak of. It's mainly heterosexual sex. There's very little detected men who have sex with men. And the idea is you can't do a one-size-fits-all prevention program. You need to tailor your response to your epidemic. And in far too many places, they don't want to accept some of the main drivers of their epidemics. In many countries...
So is it know your epidemic or admit your epidemic?
It's both. There are places that don't know their epidemic simply because they're not really addressing their problem. There are other places that don't want to see it. Injecting drug users are reviled by many governments. They don't want to see that they have injecting drug users. And indeed, they have criminal sanctions against injecting drug users. The same is true with men who have sex with men. Many, many countries have laws that actually penalize people for men for having sex with men. And in addition to there being laws, there are countries that torture men who have sex with men. They don't want to see it. And if you don't want to see it, you're not going to find it.
And you can't prevent it.
And you can't prevent it. What are you going to do about something that doesn't exist because you weren't looking for it? You know, my sense of all this, Jackie, is that in one realm, there are so many things we know that work that aren't being applied for prevention. And I was describing it today to somebody. I said, you know, it's as though I've got a bottle opener here, and you've got a screwdriver, and you're using the screwdriver to take a bottle cap off. And I go, but I got a bottle cap opener. This thing just pops the thing off. And you go, I got a screwdriver. And that, to me, is what much of the world is doing, is they're just ignoring the fact that there are bottle openers.
I didn't expect to end on that point, but there you are. Thanks very much, John Cohen, and I'll talk to you tomorrow.